It's back to school Sunday, and I'm glad to see you all here tonight. This is a wonderful time, and every teacher, school worker, or person going back to school, please make sure you get one of these pages right here. If you haven't already got one, I know Sarah's handing some out. She's got some for you. We want you to have this. Try to think about as going back to school or maybe being a teacher or working at a school, something spiritual that would be a help to me during the school year. And you'll notice on here when you get this piece of paper, if you take a look at it, I would ask you to take it with you. Keep it somewhere where you can get to it, maybe in your school locker, maybe in your notebook, I don't know. But on here there's some verses from God's Word that speak about courage and peace. I can guarantee you this, in this next year, you're going to need some courage. There's going to be some times that maybe you need some peace, and these verses will be an encouragement to you. And then there's a section on here for wisdom and guidance. There's no doubt that you're going to need some wisdom, and you're going to need some guidance for this next year. And I want you to reference God's Word there. And then the last section there is strength and diligence, strength and diligence. Now, adults, if you want a copy of this, I'll send it to you. There's no problem. I give it to you as well. But I want to thank you. Will you open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment this evening? Now, I'm just going to tell you at the very front of this that I'm going to quiz you as we go through here. Since we're talking about back to school, you all have to take part in this quiz. Are you going to pay attention and be able to answer the questions? So you better listen up. Colossians chapter 3, if you don't have your Bible with you that you brought with you, you can look in the Pew Bible. It's on page 871 in the Bible right in front of you. I want you to look in the Word of God tonight. Let me just say thank you. If you're a parent of someone going back to school, raise your hand. All the parents tonight, I just want to know who I'm dealing with here. If you're a young person going back to school, raise your hand. All right. Good. If you are a grandparent of a young person going back to school, raise your hand. Okay, got a few of those. If you're a school teacher, raise your hand. Oh, got quite a few there. If you're working on staff at the school, raise your hand. Now, if you fit none of those categories above, raise your hand. So I don't want you to feel left out. Okay, amen. So I know who we're dealing with here. I just want to thank you for being here, supporting the young folks. Listen, we want, young people, we want you to know that we're pulling for you. We're behind you 100%. We want the very best for you. We really do. And we're praying for you. Believe it or not, if there's folks around here that have some age on them, a few more years than yourself, understand that they've been probably through what you're dealing with, just in a different time period, okay? And so it's back to school time, and guess what? There's a lot of change going on this time of year. I thought about that as I was preparing this. I think about the parents tonight. They have to change when it's back to school time because now their schedule is going to be different, getting their young folks off to school perhaps. I don't know if they still get up early to go to school or not, but maybe it is that they have to get up early, get the kids off to school, make sure meals are packed, those kinds of things. I thought about the teachers, and the teachers are transitioning, aren't you? You're transitioning from the summer months, and you've had a time of early preparation, executing school planning guides, preparing for that. And guess what? Now it's time. You got to execute the plan. You got to look at the calendars. You got to figure out the dates. And you know what? For our teachers, think about this. When Shannon and I got here to Liberty Baptist Church, one of the things we endeavored to do was learn your all's names. And boy, I was really nervous about that. I wanted to make sure I learned names. And I felt like if I don't get it within a certain amount of time, boy, people are going to be looking at me crazy. And I wanted to learn names. But think about this. Teachers, oftentimes, you might get a whole classroom full of all new names that you got to learn every school year. Think of that. They got to learn those new names. How about this? For grandparents, Listen up, grandparents. You need to clear your refrigerator off. You know why? Because there's lots of things that are going to get added to your refrigerator all throughout the year. New artwork for some of you will get put up on that refrigerator. Some of you will get pictures. How about this? Just go ahead and blank out your calendar because your calendar is going to be dotted with events from now until June of next year with all the different things that are going to take place. How about the next category we think about? The young folks. And listen, you're going back to school. And I realize this, you're going to go from maybe an open schedule, free to do just about anything under the sun, to a regimented schedule where you have classes to attend, you have tests to do, you have, if you're in sports, you have exercise programs to attend and practices and all those things. And I realize that things are going to vastly change. How about this for those who raised their hand last, everybody else? Guess what? There's changes for us as well. Did you know this? That during the day, the roads are going to get a lot lighter. And two times a day, there's going to be a lot of traffic. At the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, when school's letting out, when school's getting in, traffic will be a little bit more difficult in certain parts of Snow Hill here. So for every one of us, there's some change involved. I think Solomon said it wisest in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1, he said this, to everything, listen carefully, everything, there is a season. Everything, there's a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. You know what? Regardless of whether you're going back to school or not, if you're a young person going back to school, guess what? The Lord has you in this season of life. That's the season of life you're in. If you're a teacher and you're going to be teaching another semester of students, guess what? This is a season the Lord has you in. If you're a parent, guess what? This is a season of life that God has you in. If you're a grandparent, guess what? This is a season of life that God has you in. And to everything, there is a season. The truth is, even if none of us fit any of those categories, we can say this without a doubt. Every one of us here tonight are in a particular season of life. And I want you to embrace that and grab a hold of that because God has a particular purpose for your life in every season, in every juncture that of life that God has you, and He has a purpose for you. And the good news is that we can always turn to the Scriptures and we can find help in whatever season of life that we live in, can't we? So let's look at our text here for just a few moments. This will be a shorter message, but I'm going to quiz you along the way. So make sure you pay attention. Colossians chapter 3, let's stand for the reading of God's word for one moment, please. We're going to begin in verse number 18. We'll be reading down through verse number 25 in Colossians chapter 3. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." In verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." The Lord Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us this evening with this one emphasis verse in verse number 23. Lord, I pray you just guide and direct, and Father, that you'd help us to understand all that's contained here in this one verse. Help us to apply that in our lives as we think about going back to school. And Father, I pray you just challenge us from the Scriptures. Help us to see where this is applicable to every one of us. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Those students have been given this card, and I'm going to give this one back to my little friend here. But on this card in Colossians 3:23, here you go. Colossians 3:23 is listed on there. It's the verse of emphasis I want to emphasize tonight. Let's look at it again. Colossians 3:23. Look at it with me. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." I want you to take away this thought tonight as we think about back to school, but really it's applicable to all of us. I want you to think of this thought, with hearts to the Lord. With hearts to the Lord. I want you to think about that statement, with hearts to the Lord. Now, the context of this passage, as we just read it, these several verses, you're probably thinking, man, what in the world, Pastor? Why in the world are you reading about wives and husbands and reading about children and reading about servants? But I want you to understand that it deals with the three primary relationships in the home at the time. Husbands and wives, children, and in the day this was written, they had servants that were in the household. Three different relationships that Paul the Apostle is dealing with in the church at Colossae, but the application of this verse is so much greater than this, and that's what I want you to see tonight. You see, Paul is simply quoting and applying, believe it or not, in Colossians 3:23, he's quoting from Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 10. He's quoting an Old Testament passage, and he's applying it to the home. He's applying it to the children. He's applying it to the servants. This is what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:10. He said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." And then he says this, "For there's no work, no device, no knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whithersoever thou goest." In other words, all of us are on that trajectory, one-way trip, one day to stepping off into eternity off of this planet. And so he's saying this is why you're here, whatever your hand finds to do, listen, you need to do it with all that you've got. You need to do it with all your might. You might say it this way, with heart to the Lord. You need to do it with heart to the Lord. Now, students and teachers, this verse is a great verse to memorize because I want you to think about it this year. I want you to think about it in the long time. See, right now everything's new for you. You're going to go back, everything's fresh. You're going to meet up with new friends. You're going to have a new locker maybe. You're going to have new classes to attend. Perhaps you're going to get involved in different things this year than you were last year. Everything's going to be new at the first. But guess what? There's coming a time as the time goes on that things are going to get a little long. You're going to have to remind yourself, to what reason and what purpose am I doing what I'm doing? And so I'd encourage you to memorize this verse because there's a broad principle here. See, there's certain verses in the Bible that I refer to as this, catch-all verses. You know what I mean by that, a catch-all verse? There are certain verses in the Bible that catch every one of us. They're applicable to every one of us. You call it a catch-all verse. This Colossians 3:23, guess what? It's a catch-all verse. No matter where you're at, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're somewhere in between, it catches you and it catches me. It applies to every one of us. So if you're a teacher, guess what? It applies to you. If you're a student, guess what? It applies to you. If you're in some other season of life, guess what? It applies to you. If you happen to be a servant and I don't know about it, guess what? It applies to you as well. It's a catch-all verse. It's applied to every station of life. Notice with me again, verse number 23. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not unto men." All right, now here's the test time. We're going to read it out loud together. You help me. Here we go, Colossians 3:23. I'm watching for moving lips to see that you're saying the verse. Here we go. One, two, three. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." That was okay. We give that about maybe a B minus rating out of the 4 score. We're gonna go for an A this time. Here we go. Colossians 3:23. Let's repeat it together. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." This is the main truth I want to get across to you tonight, is that all that you do in this next school year, regardless whether you're a student, a teacher, somewhere in between, someone working at the school, I want you to understand this, that it is not just unto men, but it should be as to the Lord. And I want you to understand, I'm trying to share some wisdom with you that, listen, I didn't understand. I wish somebody had come along and put their arm around me and showed me this when I was this high. I wish somebody had taught me this when I was real young. And I'm telling you, this is a great nugget of truth that will help you in life. You see, the greatest discovery that you and I can have following our salvation in Christ, obviously being saved is the greatest thing under heaven. Amen. Trusting in Christ as our personal Savior, that is number one. But following that, guess what? There's a life that God has to you to live. And the truth that's listed here is one of the greatest truths that you and I can understand. And that is this, that all of this life, all of this stuff that I'm engaged in, whatever it is, it's not unto men. It is as unto the Lord. So I know for some that might seem a little unusual at this point in your life. You're thinking, boy, is everything I'm doing as unto the Lord? Yes. It should be as unto the Lord. Everything you're engaged in. In fact, I want to give you 3 points, and these are the points of the test. So you might want to pay attention to these 3 points. All right, you might write them down in case you're a soon forgetter. They're alliterated, so you might be able to remember them. The first one is this. We need to understand the width of this verse, the width of it. Oh, look at there. I forgot I made slides. So if you happen to forget, I guess you can look up the width of this verse, the width of this verse. Notice the first part of the verse, Colossians 3:23. It says these words, whatsoever ye do, whatsoever ye do. You know, I cannot imagine the amount of things students are engaged in. And students, I don't blame you if you close your ears here for just a second, because I don't want to discourage you this early in the school year. So if you just want to not listen to this for the next few minutes, that's okay. If you're brave enough to listen, that's fine. But I looked up what y'all are going to deal with in this next year, because I just wanted to know, what is it that these students are going to be dealing with? Do you know this, that over the next school year, if you're in high school, you're going to be dealing with anywhere between 900 and 1,080 hours of instruction in this next school year, and spread, listen, over 180 days. Boy, that's a long time, and that's a lot of hours. Guess what? It gets even better than that. These students are going to be engaged in 9 hours of standardized tests and exams in totality in the next year. That's a whole lot of testing. Not only that, I found this out. They're going to be doing 15 to 20 hours just on quizzes, chapter tests, and midterm exams. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? And then, if that weren't enough, hey, students, guess what? It gets even better. You're going to be engaged in almost 180 to 300 hours in average on homework throughout the entire year. That's pretty significant. What I mean to say by that is this, is you're going to be doing a whole lot. You're going to be engaged in a whole lot. The teachers are going to be engaged in a lot. The staff is going to be engaged in a whole lot. And I'm not saying that to discourage you. I'm not saying that to make you fear about what's coming up. But I want to point out, as you already know, and maybe for those who don't know, there's a lot of work ahead. Now, I'm going to take a poll real quick. What's your favorite subject? One of you raise your hand, tell me very quickly. Go ahead. In the very, very back blue shirt. Go ahead. What is it? Math? Amen. Praise the Lord. I was just reading an article that said this, that there's folks going into calculus class in colleges today that are ill prepared for calculus. In fact, they have to go all the way back to algebra to get them spun up to be able to do the calculus in the colleges today, because they didn't do the before work to get where they need to be. Somebody else, what's your favorite subject? Science. I like science too. Science is a good one. Anybody else? Favorite subject? Quickly. Go ahead. Science. We got 2 science folks. You ought to get together and do some science stuff together. Yeah. English? Wow. Okay. That's a good subject. Now, I wish I had embraced English when I was younger, but I couldn't stand it, to be honest with you. I didn't like it. And listen, as I got older, I'm so glad that my dad actually would have me learn new words. And I'm thankful he did that, because now I know a whole lot of words that a lot of people don't know. And I'm grateful for that. So praise the Lord. What's your favorite school activity? We said favorite subjects. What's school activity? Somebody, raise your hand. Anybody, that's okay. What's your favorite activity?
To do stuff with your friends.
do stuff with their friends. That is a supreme benefit of going to school that most people don't realize, is you're surrounded with a bunch of friends that you didn't know before, and you know what brought you together is school. Hey, let me give you a hint. Guess what? Being a part of a local New Testament church brings you around a whole bunch of people maybe you didn't know before under the banner of Jesus Christ. And guess what? They'll be the very best friends you ever had. Lifetime of friends. Somebody else. Favorite activity. You don't have any favorite activities? Come on. PE. I knew somebody was going to say it. They still do PE? How long do you get for recess? How long do you get? PE, how long does that go? An hour? It's about an hour. Okay, very good. Anybody else? Favorite school activity? Okay, we're out of school activities. We're out of subjects. Nobody said social studies. I can't believe that. Or economics or physics. Nobody said physics. They did say science, though. I think about all these things you'll be engaged in. Listen carefully. That verse, Colossians 3:23. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, that means if you're engaged in science, that means if you're engaged in mathematics, that means if you're engaged in English, even English, yes, that means if you're engaged in PE, whatsoever you do, or engaged in meeting new friends, the Bible says whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. Here's what I'm trying to get at tonight. There is an expectation that God has of you and all that you accomplish in this life. There's an expectation. God has an expectation for you. And we see the scope of this statement. It encompasses everything under the sun. I want you to understand the Lord is interested in everything that you are involved in. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That means this: God's paying attention to everything that's going on. He sees everything that's taking place. And it might be a shocker to you. You might be thinking, man, I'm studying for social studies. Is the Lord really interested in this? Absolutely. He's interested in everything that you're engaged in. And so if you're in an after-school program, guess what? God expects you to do it in a God-honoring way. If you're engaged in a test, you're to engage in that test in a particular way. If you're part of a sports activity, oh, by the way, football, basketball, soccer, whatever it is, pickleball, I don't know if they do that at the school or not. Whatever it is, God expects you to engage in that activity a particular way. Now, here's the thing. You and I, we like to compartmentalize things. And so here's what you're going to do oftentimes as a person. You have your school life. Here's how I am at school. And then you have your home life. Here's how I am at home. And then you have your work life. And here how I am at work. And then you have your social life. Here's how I deal with my friends. And then you have your church life. Here's how I act when I come to the church house. Friends, can I tell you that even though we're good at compartmentalizing things and acting that way, putting on the different hats, God doesn't want you to live in that way. God expects one way and one way only. He says, whatsoever you do, whatsoever you do. In other words, whether you're at the school, whether you're at the home, whether you're at work, whether you're dealing with other people in a social environment, whether you're at the church, whatsoever you do, all of it. Is God interested in it? Absolutely. And so you and I need to understand that James says this, a double-minded man, that means you're putting on different hats. A double-minded man is unstable in, guess what, all his ways. And so I know this, God wants you to be stable. He's the one, he has one way for you and I to live, and that is as unto the Lord. So the first point was what? Somebody tell me, raise your hand. What was number one? It's up on the screen. You got to say it like you mean it. The what?
The width.
The width. All right. The first point is the width. Number two, I'm going to give it to you. Don't put the slide up. That way I can test them, brother. Number two, the way, okay? The way. So we have the width, whatsoever you do, and then the way. Now, the teacher that's in here, the two teachers that raise their hand, listen carefully. Do you know the name Henry Kissinger? He's a politician, science person. Henry Kissinger, maybe before your time. Well, anyways, Henry Kissinger went to Harvard. Look up the name sometime. He went to Harvard and he had to turn in a paper, Henry Kissinger did. And so he wrote his paper and he goes to turn it in. And he turns it into the professor. And the professor gives it back to him the next day, and he puts on the bottom of it a simple note: "Is this the best you can do?" Henry Kissinger takes the paper and he says, "No, this is not the best I can do." So he rewrites the paper again. He turns it in the next day and he gives it to the professor and says, "All right, here's my paper. Now this is something you can do, teachers. I'm just giving you a hint what to do this next year." He handed it back to the student and say, "Is this the best you can do?" He put the same note on the very bottom of it. Henry Kissinger took the paper again a second time and said, "Well, I'm going to rewrite it again." He rewrote it again. He turns it in a third time, and guess what? It comes back. "Is this the best you can do?" This happens 10 times. This happens. And finally, Henry Kissinger writes the paper of his life, man. He puts all into it, and he hands it in to the professor, and he writes a note on the bottom for the professor. He says, "Yes, this is the best I can do." And the professor looks at the paper, reads the note on the bottom, says, "All right, I'll read it now." I want you to think about this for a second. The Lord expects you to do the best you can do. I want you to look at the verse again, verse 23. Notice it. "Whatsoever you do," notice what he says, "do it," how? "Heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." Now the word "heartily" is actually, it's a translation of two different underlying Greek words. Now the words, I'm not going to bore you with this, but it's the word "out of" and "soul" put together. "Out of" and "soul." In other words, the idea is this: is God's the one who constituted you together. God's the one who made you. God's the one who gave you the kind of mind that you have. God is the one who's giving you the abilities you have. God is the one who's giving you the talents you have. God is the one who's equipped you for what you have the ability to do. And God says to you and I, whatever it is that you're going to do, whatever it is, I want you to do it as I made you to do it. As unto the Lord, out of the life that I've given you, heartily, out of your soul. And so the idea is this, that God wants you to exercise in this next school year as you begin school. Hey man, exercise to your fullest potential all that God has gifted you and the ability to do. Put your all into it. I believe I stated this before during the graduation service, that when I was in middle school and high school, me just being plain and honest, I didn't really apply myself. Honestly didn't, and I knew I wasn't applying myself. In fact, I had enough smarts that God gave me that I could kind of just coast and get by. The pastor didn't even have to study really. He didn't have to really apply himself that much. And here's the thing, I could get by with a B average, no problem. In fact, sometimes I was blessed and got an A, but that was kind of an unusual occurrence. Most of the time I floated around a B average. Now I'm not telling you that's the way to go. What I'm telling you is I didn't understand what the Bible says, is what I'm telling you. I didn't understand the purpose behind what I was doing. I didn't understand the purpose of what I was doing. Now listen, young folks, you might get the idea that you're going to school because mom and dad are making you. You might get the idea somehow in your minds and your hearts, the whole reason I'm going to school is because the state mandates it, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go to school. But guess what? I can't wait one day to get out on my own and make my own decisions. You might have the idea in your heart that you're going to school just simply for the fact that one day you're going to get a better job with a better education, and that's the point. You might even have this idea that all of this is just pointless, and I'm just going to bide my time until I get through 12 years of school, and then when I'm done, I'm done. And that was partly my attitude, honestly, when I was going to school, because I didn't understand this verse. I didn't understand this. Listen, the Lord has a marvelous plan for you. He has a marvelous plan for your life. He has something for you to do. I guarantee you, He has lots of somethings for you to do. And I just didn't understand that it was God, listen, it was God that had given me the ability to do well. I didn't understand that. You know this, that every one of us, every one of you, if I were to set you aside and ask you, tell me some of the strengths God has given you, I guarantee you every one of you would be able to tell me something that God has gifted you at, some talent God has given you. He's given you strengths, certain strengths. God has given many of us talents, certain things that we're good at. There's certain, honestly, certain things that we're not good at, but God has given us certain talents in this life. And if you're born again, guess what? The Bible tells us, every one of us, if you're a child of God, you not only have talents and you have abilities, but God has given us spiritual gifts. And all of these things that God has given you are for a purpose, it's for a reason. The evangelist normally says this, that you have three things, time, treasure, and talents. And how true that is, time, treasure, and talents. Remember this, the Lord doesn't do anything on accident. And that includes you, my friend. You're not an accident. God has you here on purpose, and He has a purpose for you. The Bible says that it's God's design for us to do everything with our heart. Let me challenge you tonight, not just to get by in the school year. Don't just coast and just make it. Do the best job you can do. If you get back to your home and you're out of school and you're in the home, hey, be the best family member you can be. Listen, if you're at a job, if you're working while you're in school, or for those who are still working today, listen, you better ought to do the best job you can do. Why? Because it's as unto the Lord. Whatever it is that your hand find to do, do it with all thy might, all thy strength. And so we ought to do the very best job we can do. So what was the second point? The first one was the with. Somebody tell me the second one. You can't answer again. Y'all answered out loud. Y'all don't know the rules of school. What are the rules of school, Miss Sarah? You have to raise your hand. So somebody raise their hand. Okay. All right, I'm going to call on you. The way. All right, so we have the width. We have the way. Now I'm going to get to the last one. Are you ready for it? It'd be really terrible if I didn't use a W, wouldn't it? I'm going to use a W, don't worry. The worth. The worth. That's the third point, the worth. We have the width of the statement, whatsoever you do. We have the way, do it heartily. And now we have the worth as unto the Lord. Now, this is where it all comes together. I want you to think about this for a second. What is the worth of what you're engaged in right now? What is it worth? How do you value it? How could you possibly quantify it? You take out a calculator and figure it out, what the worth of what you're engaged in is. Is it simply this? I'm going to complete 12 years of school and I'm going to get a piece of paper. I'm going to hang it on my wall one day, or I'm going to turn it into a college so I can get into the college and it says I've graduated 12 years of school. Is that the worth of it? Is it simply to pacify the adults around you that, look, I've stuck in, I've done 12 years, and now I've pacified you, I can get on with life and get on to my next stage of life? Is that the worth of it? Is it only so you can get to the next station of life? Is that the worth of what you're doing and engaged in right now? And see, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the application of this verse is so powerful, and it ought to shape us. Is where we put it together. See, the Lord has engaged and called you and I to engage in every activity of life in a particular way. Now, how many of you be willing to admit to the pastor tonight that there's been some things you've been engaged in all through the years that you just didn't put your heart into it? You just kind of halfway did it. How many of you be willing to admit that? I think every one of us can raise our hands. You get tired, get bored, say, this is not my thing. I'm not really engaged in it. I'm just here taking part. I think all of us could admit that there's been times in our lives and moments where we did not give attention to what we were doing. And I believe this, the reason why we engage in activity, in any activity, in that way, the less than our very best, is because we don't understand what's recorded here for you and I in the Scriptures. What is recorded? It says that our purpose is as unto the Lord. Can I tell you that the worth of everything you'll be engaged in, every task you'll complete in this next year, the worth of it will be much greater if you do it unto the Lord. Look in verse number 18. I just want to point this out for everybody that's here tonight. Look at it with me. Understand, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Notice the last part there. What does it say? As is fit unto who? The Lord. Notice the verse number 19. Husband, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is, notice what it says there, well-pleasing unto who? Unto the Lord. Do you understand the context of marriage? The marriage relationship is not as unto one another. It's as unto the Lord. The context of the marriage relationship, husbands and wives, is as unto the Lord. The context of children obeying their parents is not because they told you so, although that's a good enough reason, by the way. When your parents say, do this, and you say, why? And they say, because I told you so, you ought to go. That's a good enough reason. But you know what the higher and holier context to that is? Children, young folks, listen up. Obey your parents, guess what? As unto the Lord, as is pleasing unto the Lord. Look, verse 22, it tells us the servants are to fear God. Notice what he says about the servants. If they're serving in a household, verse number 23, how are they to do it? As good as their masters are to them? No, it doesn't say that. It says, as unto the Lord. The point I'm simply trying to say is simply this. Listen, every station of life you'll ever be in, every station of life you ever be in, the greatest context of that station of life, the greatest worth of that station of life that you're in is as unto the Lord. You say, why am I studying for this test? Because I'm doing it as unto the Lord. You say, why am I getting up in the morning and making my bed? Because I'm doing it as unto the Lord. You say, why am I going to surround myself with godly influences and not the wrong crowd? Here's why. Because I'm living as unto the Lord. Why am I going to be the very best basketball player I could possibly be? Because I want to make the all-star team. Because I want the applause of men. I want the highest and biggest trophy I can get. No, the highest and holiest reason, the highest reason that you're the very best basketball player you can be, the very best football player you can be, the very best soccer player you can be, is as unto the Lord. The worth of what you're doing today, tomorrow, and the next day, can I tell you, it will be based on whether you do it as unto the Lord or as unto men. I want to encourage you this night to have a right perspective on what it is that's before you. As we begin to close, I want you to know that God can use you in a mighty way. How many are artists in this room? Any artists in here? Good at drawing? Maybe penciling? We got one, maybe, back there. Got one right there, I know. Got an artist? Any more artists in here? I want you to think about this. You got one pointed out that didn't want to raise their hand. That's okay. We know who you are now. Amen. Listen, here's what I want to say about this. Imagine for a moment, let's just say you're an artist. Let's just say we're all artists tonight. Imagine if the mayor of Snow Hill came to you and said, listen, I want to commission you for a piece of artwork. And when you get done with that piece of artwork, I'm going to set it there in the town hall for everybody to see when they come in. Now, that's a pretty high privilege. I think that'd be a thing you want to do well at because, listen, who knows how many folks are coming in and out of there. And maybe that's a piece of fame there for you. The folks would come in and see that piece of artwork. That'd be pretty amazing. But imagine if the governor of the state of North Carolina, I believe his name is Josh Stein. Imagine if Josh Stein came to you, called you up tomorrow and said, listen, I'm going to commission you for this piece of artwork. And it's going to be held at the governor's mansion here. We're going to put it in a special prominent place, this piece of artwork. And I want you to know that everybody that comes to the governor's mansion is going to see this piece of artwork framed up here real nice and have your signature on it. You think this, boy, that's a pretty high privilege right there to have art in the state capitol governor's house. But imagine this. Let's just take it one step further. Imagine tomorrow you get a call from the President of the United States. You pick up the phone and it's President Donald Trump. He says, listen, I'm going to commission you to do a piece of artwork. And that artwork's going to sit in the Oval Office. It's going to sit right behind my desk there in the Oval Office. That means this. Anytime there's any press in there, anytime I'm signing any bills, anytime I'm doing any kind of press conference, listen, everybody in all the world is going to see your artwork hanging up right behind me in the Oval Office. How many say this? That's something you might put a few minutes to. You might spend some time on that, right? You might put some effort and do it heartily. You know this, that God has got you in this life. And He says, listen, you do everything, you do it as unto me. And it's God that has commissioned us in this life to live, move, and have our being, have our breath. Oh, the trajectory of our lives mapped out by the Lord. He has a purpose and a plan and a will for your life. And guess what? The Lord Jesus is much higher than the President of the United States. And so if we'd be willing to do something heartily for the President, if we'd be willing to do something heartily for the North Carolina governor or even the town of Snow Hill, how much more so? We ought to conduct ourselves daily in our lives, because the Bible says here in Colossians 3 and verse number 23, what does it say? And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so as we close, we think about, first of all, the width of this statement, don't we? We think about, number two, the way. We do it heartily. But then I think when you pull it all together, friends, here it is. The worth of what you're engaged in right now will be determined on whether you do it as unto the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll have a short invitation.